Why did you take on this project?
I think my colleague Ken Betzalel had convinced me years ago that journals have book review sections and why not a movie film review? So I approached Human Rights Quarterly, been on their editorial board for a number of years, and they said, fine. So we now do film reviews in the same fashion that book reviews are done. And then from the, but the film reviews we do for Human Rights Quarterly are all recently released films. The idea for this book was to look in the past, some past films.
Has film been overlooked when we try to comprehend or understand the struggle for human rights?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think there's now a whole host of international film, human rights film festivals. Human Rights Watch has one in, a major one in London and New York, and then throughout at Asheville at the university now, we're going to be having our 9th annual Human Rights Film Festival. I think one reason that I like it is that it makes it more personal. Human rights becomes less abstract. There's also this notion that younger people are very visual, right, that they learn by film. And so it's a way of trying to reach students. I think a lot of people are like this now. And so I think film is important. I do. I think there's probably a growing recognition of that.
What role did the Universal Declaration of Rights adopted by the United Nations play in defining a human rights film?
I don't know about a human rights film, but to me, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948, is sort of the end-all and be-all document. I mean, really, it's I described it yesterday in class as the single most important political document of all time. And so I sometimes get irritated with philosophers who want to go back, you know, what are human rights? And my ready response is, here's the UDHR, Universal Declaration. These are the human rights that are universally agreed upon. We don't need to keep reinventing the wheel here.
What are the issues that you consider at the heart of a human rights film?
You know, it doesn't say in the opening credits, this is a human rights film. You won't find that. I have a fairly broad definition. I also think, though, that most people, when they think of human rights, they equate it with what are called civil and political rights, which would be torture, disappearances, summary executions, and political imprisonment. But most human rights violations in the world, by far, the vast majority are violations of economic, social, and cultural rights. So in this book project, certainly the films that show torture and the like, a film like Missing with Jack Lemmon and Sissy Spacek deals with torture and a summary execution, but there's an effort here to give the full panoply of human rights, particularly economic, social, and cultural rights.
You mentioned Missing, the 1982 film. Your list does include feature films.
The major distinction I have is just two. One is a feature film, which is studio and fictional, including a few animations like Persepolis. So 50 feature films. Most of the films that are listed in the book or analyzed in the book, people will be familiar with. Schindler's List, Missing, Slumdog Millionaire, Gandhi, Midnight Cowboy, first great movie I ever saw in my life. And then the 51 documentaries are not going to be as familiar to people. But the point with the 50 feature films is that there are a number of films that have human rights themes, but it may not be obvious to the viewer. And so what I try to do in my analysis of the film is to bring out sort of the human rights themes that are there.
Is the 2009 film Precious, based on the novel by Sapphire, one of those films a reader may question?
I agree with you. And I also think it's probably more likely for films that have economic rights as a theme. All right, so in Precious, you have this young girl the family's living in the poor housing, Section 8 housing. Her education is not sufficient, but these are human rights. But again, we don't normally associate human rights with things like education or housing or health care, right? We think of torture and the like. But again, I also think that people could question a lot of the films, you know, or at least some of them, and also maybe the rank ordering that I have. I mean, the rank ordering was also to get people a little bit exercised about these things. Like, how did you have Precious at number 8? We try to create perhaps some false controversy. I mean, let me just give you the first five. Schindler's List, number 1. The Lives of Others, about life in East Germany, number 2. Missing, number 3. The Official Story, an Argentinian film about the dirty war there. And then The Killing Fields. I mean, I do have a fairly loose definition of, let's say a liberal definition of a human rights film.
Tomorrow, Mark Gibney talks about documentary films and well-known films that didn't make the cut. For WCQS News, I'm David Horand.